must we let it end? Where does the time go? Gone too soon, my friend. And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air? Oh, wherever the time goes, I will see you there.
The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end? And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air? Oh,
I'm Bob Allison, and this is WHFR.FM, your home for over 50 hours of great classical music every week.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now we're going to take you to the new WHFR Journal out at the Dearborn Homecoming. Jay, are you there?
Thank you, Joe, very much. This is Jay and Dennis. This is the new WHFR Journal live from Dearborn Homecoming. Today is August the 2nd, 2013, and we're very excited out here holding down some of the stuff in our tent, some of our WHFR logo items that are free for the taking, or if you grab them as they fly through the air. It's a beautiful day in Dearborn, and the sun is shining, and one of the, of course, our show is local news and information and public affairs for Dearborn and the surrounding area. We've had a series of candidates for the Dearborn City Council
challengers, in fact, for
the City Council positions in the last couple months. And now here today, we've got two more scheduled, and they are live, not in the studio, but in our remote broadcast tent out here at Dearborn Homecoming. And the first person, I'm going to switch microphones here, is Patrick Mellon.
Melton.
And that's the first thing I'm going to do is pronounce his name correctly. Patrick Mellon, welcome to the WHFR Journal here. The first issue is that you and others here who want to, who are political candidates or maybe have some political action group or some political philosophy they want to espouse, they're put into this sort of free speech area across from the carnival here, just south of the WHFR booth. So just interested to tell us what sort of rules and regulations there are for people that use that area.
Okay. Yeah, I guess the main area here, which is south of the bridge, is used for that reason, for free speech and political literature to be passed out, and that our restriction is in between those boundaries there, and we use it to try to let people know from the city of Dearborn that there's candidates that are running for city council, for city government, that will provide leadership for the future.
Well, and I think it's a great idea, although personally, I've said on my show, I've always got opinions, that if you're a candidate that's on the ballot for political office, and especially this is a big election year for local candidates, the city should have tried to find some space in one of the pavilions, you know, under cover of sun, and so you could have a table and maybe talk in a less noisy area than across from the carnival. And I know other people want to talk and give their opinions, too. But I was thinking maybe they should do something special for the candidates. They haven't, but there you are. You have your time and space, and you've been here since the beginning today, and people can come up and meet you and greet you and talk to you there. So now we begin the official 15 minutes of fame on WHFR Journal, and we're going to ask you the questions that we ask the other folks. Again, Patrick Melton, no relation to the Melton family that owned the Southgate Honda dealer for a while?
No. They could be a distant relative, but I doubt it.
Yeah, they didn't let you in on the sale after they sold to Campbell. Okay, anyway.
Something you'd know.
No profit for that. They got out of town quick. No, I think Mr. Melton just wanted to retire, and his family didn't want to continue. Anyway, brief bio about your education, jobs. I understand you're an HSCC graduate, so that's really special to us, of course.
Sure.
But I think most of the candidates are here for the city council. So tell us about education and your job position, and any other relevant experience that would relate to a city council in Dearborn.
Well, let's say I was born and raised here in Dearborn. Actually grew up on Grinley Park Street, went to all the related schools here, now in O.L. Smith Public Schools, and Dearborn High, and also Essel Ford. I went to the university, actually I went to Henry Ford Community College and graduated there, and then I went on to the University of Michigan. And then I actually just graduated from Northwestern School of Police Staff and Command at Northwestern University. And I'm currently the Director of Law Enforcement for the Wayne County Sheriff's Department. And I'm in charge of working with the local communities to provide and help police services, you know, such as in here in Dearborn. The Sheriff's Department did help with the Arab American Festival, and we provided security for that. And we do work within many different communities throughout the County of Wayne to try to help and provide support where needed. You know.
So if I understand your job, again, you're technically a sheriff deputy, but you're basically a community liaison for special police needs and services?
That's correct.
Okay.
For many different communities within Wayne County, not just Dearborn, but yes.
I assume when the Arab American Festival, International Festival last year, was policed by Wayne County, that was a special project under your office, perhaps?
That's correct. Under my sheriff, Benny Napoleon's office, that's correct.
Some headaches before that happened, I bet.
There's always some level of frustration, I'm sure.
No, again, I think you folks have done a fine job for us in Dearborn. For I think it was 2 years that the festival was actually policed by Wayne County.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's your day job. Second question is, just jumping right in here, this election especially, it seems to be a lot of issues relating to decisions made by Mayor O'Reilly in the last couple of years. Would you say that in terms of his policies, you're for them or against them, or maybe something in between?
Well, I actually am for his policies. I do not have an issue. I think the city is well run. I think, I've lived here my entire life. I saw that there's a vacancy on the city council by the absence of two or three people that are going to be, you know, one going to state rep, and then, of course, one of the council people stepping up from that spot. And then you have both Nancy Hubbard and Susan Serena that left. So I saw a vacancy, and I thought that I would be best qualified and it would be best served and serve my community, the one I live in, by running for Dearborn City Council. So I think that the city is well run. I just want to continue the good government, and I want to continue improving on certain city services such as public safety, which is definitely well within my grasp of knowledge, since I run several situations within the Sheriff's Department and understand what the costs are and what the benefits of having a good police department can provide to a city. I've seen where not having good public services like that or public safety can really hamper a city. I mean, take a look at, and we're definitely going through extremes here, City of Detroit, City of Inkster, you know, where the response times are very poor. And you take a look at the City of Dearborn, and we have a great response time. People, when they live here in the City of Dearborn, they want, when you call the department, the police department, they show up. When you call the fire department, they show up. And they don't show up 2 hours later, they show up in 3 minutes. And that's what, you know, first thing people come to the City of Dearborn, they want to feel safe. And I think that the mayor has done a great job as far as making sure that those things are moving in the right direction.
So probably I won't ask question three, which was not facetious, but a lot of people said that, well, I really want to give back to the community. I really want to help the city. So the question was, why not run for mayor? But you feel Mayor O'Reilly is doing a good job, and plus maybe you like your day job right now. Is that sort of the reason?
That's correct. I have not retired yet, so I'm definitely I'm very, very close to it. But I definitely have not decided to run for mayor, nothing in my near future either.
I just heard recently, it's a slight aside, but I'll add your time an extra minute here, that Wayne County is going to be going for, is it additional millage request, a tax increase from the residents on the November ballot? And I don't know what that money, is it just going in the general fund? Will it affect the Wayne County Sheriff, for example, department, or everybody's funding?
Well, as I understand, it's a general fund tax, but I don't know exactly what Mr. Ficano has up his sleeve as far as providing a tax to the citizens of Wayne County, you know. And I think it'd be, I mean, quite frankly, I think it'd be very difficult, especially in these economic times, and you know the hit that the county is taking from a political standpoint and all the issues that has come with it. But you know, the sheriff has definitely been very well thought of, and is, you know, we're moving the department forward in the right direction, and I think that we're doing a good job there. So I mean, as it relates to,
well, thank you. I'm sure we'll hear more about that tax increase request. I'm fairly certain I read just the last day or so it's definite it's going on the ballot, but unfortunately I haven't had time to read about the details or the amount, but it would be an increase that they're asking for, and because of revenues, mainly property revenues being down. Okay, moving on. The big question for a lot of candidates is has to do with the new City Hall. Yes, the building, the ADT building, has been bought now, and the present City Hall officially is now, it can be bought by ArtSpace if they raise the money needed. And they won't, it's not just buying the building, they need a $17 million grant apparently from the state or some other organizations in order for the renovation. So that's not quite a done deal. But where do you stand on that new City Hall versus the old one, on that whole issue that came up the last year or so? It's pretty controversial for the city, for a lot of people in the city anyway.
Well, you know, I've been walking throughout the city, you know, asking people to support me and for their vote. And, you know, I've heard several people have showed some discontent with the move. But, you know, and I've had those questions asked me before, but, and I think, you know, I was at first very disheartened by the move, you know, because that place is, you know,
the history
is there. You look at it, that's Dearborn. But, you know, in the same respect, I know that these decisions don't come lightly, and I know that the people on that council definitely struggled with the decision, and I'm all for fiscal responsibility. So if it saves us money, I think it's and we can preserve it as an art space, and I think it's a good move.
All right, thank you. We're talking to Patrick Melton, who is a candidate running for Dearborn City Council in the primary election coming up this coming Tuesday, August 6th. Next question, then. Cuts to budget versus income. It looks like we're not going to be getting too much of the traditional income, but. Do you feel that there's areas that can be cut, or do you think there might be some possibilities of new income that could be raised somewhere?
Well, I think the city of Dearborn and the mayor and the council just recently raised taxes. When we had the drop in income from the lower SCVs, you know, everybody's house values dropped, which means that less taxes came in. So the city council did a combination of increasing taxes and cutting some services, a couple pools and a couple libraries, which, you know, I think, you know, you can understand. While it's not something that I, you know, would like to have seen done, but, you know, as you can see, many of the home values are now starting to increase in many different areas, and it'll take, you know, a year or two to realize those increases. So when the SCVs go up, you know, the city council, the mayor's office, and this, you know, is going to have a question for them, is do you lower taxes when the SCVs go up? And if there's an opportunity to lower taxes to citizens, that would be great, but you don't want to do it at the expense of, you don't want to do it at the expense of lowering or eliminating some services. And, you know, costs are continually rising, so it's definitely a, you know, it's a battle. So you just have to take a look at the budget as it, as each year progresses, and find out where you're at and try to build a, you know, a positive cash flow budget for the following year so that you might have something like a rainy day fund. So I think it's very important.
On the League of Women Voters website, the commentaries that are there, that was obviously written maybe 4 to 6 months ago. You remember doing that? you actually talked about the top-notch street cleaning. Apparently, just in the last week or so, they've decided to end that outsourcing, and you were in favor of ending it. So they actually did. Maybe they read that.
It's possible. I mean, I think that there's some, you know, ideas out there. I think when I was a kid, you know, they used to had a great services as it relates to the streets sweeping, and they did that, I think, every week. I could be wrong, but they did it every week, and they sprayed down the streets before they actually swept them. And it didn't look like that's what they were doing in this case, and they were just dry sweeping, which was just pushing a lot of the dirt and dust into a different direction, which I'm very excited, and I did see that in the latest pressing guide.
Apparently, there's still decisions have to be made about the future, but right now they're just renting a couple of trucks and using current Dearborn Public Works people. But great idea, and, of course, some of the council people have already spoken on it who are already there that they'd have to look at in the future, but maybe they should buy their own trucks, and maybe they can collaborate with other cities. I mean, do we really need street sweeping every day? And, of course, it takes a long time for, like, 4 or 6 trucks to do every street in Dearborn. So I don't know how many days that did, but the idea was that either we or sort of a consortium of several cities would buy them and share them.
That would be a great idea. I mean, you know, that's the sort of age that we're at. You know, we're sharing services, you know, just like we did with the fire department. The fire department was, you know, Melvindale was absorbed by Dearborn Fire Department.
And we got a grant from the state to help that merger, so maybe they'll give us a grant for our street machines. Okay, moving on. We have about 5 minutes left, by the way, of your 15 minutes of fame here, Patrick Melton. I think you've already talked about where you stand on city essentials. You felt you need to continue support for the fire department and the police department. Pools and libraries, you know, again, you have to look at usage patterns. Times are changing. Historical museum. I think historical museum has sort of been cut adrift at this point to find its funds by itself. Any specific thoughts about that situation?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, preserving our, you know, our history is definitely something that we probably should, you know, we should definitely consider strongly. You know, I'm a big proponent of, if you don't know where you've been, how do you know where you're going? So I think it's definitely something that we need to continue to make sure that we, you know, preserve our historical museums, and if there's any possible way that we continue to, you know, help them.
Again, we have a lot of opinions here on the Journal, and as Dennis would do if I have his mic turned up, would state that all opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of anyone at Henry Ford Community College. Okay, they didn't tell us to say this, but it would seem to me that at least the city should pay, like, some sort of director of the historical museum, like one pretty much full-time person to be in charge of fundraising and organizing volunteer staff. But just for the continuity, you know, the security and stability, that not everybody should be paid or paid nothing. And there should be one person at least under contract to the city to take care of the museum, but not by themselves, of course. But you know, I just, I don't know, think about it. Okay, that's when he gets in office, of course, folks. Patrick Melton here. What about some of the city extras? They're almost paying for themselves. I know the new animal shelter, Miller Riley's told me in April that we may get the area of the current train station, which will become the old train station, I guess, by next year. But there's no money from the city to build a new animal shelter. So I'll jump to the more controversial one. What about the West Dearborn parking towers? And what about the paid parking situation in West Dearborn? Should that be ended for the good of business there?
Well, you know, I think right at the moment, you know, as with everything that we have that the city of Dearborn has implemented, from parking to the street sweeping issue, I think, you know, everything has, you know, a monetary value to it, you know, and I think, you know, until we can get a group effort, whether it's the businesses, the community leaders, the city government leaders, and to come together to try to make, you know, a good decision, you know, for the good of everybody, because basically, you know, we want, you know, all of city of Dearborn, whether it's, you know, the east side of Dearborn or the west side of Dearborn, we want it to thrive, not only, you know, definitely from a business standpoint, you know, and, you know, if it's something that's needed where we, you know, we can get with the business leaders of the community to see if that's something that's, you know, helping or hurting them, and getting their input, and, you know, potentially, you know, putting out some kind of feelers, that, you know, I would be in favor of whatever would be best for making the city better.
Yeah, I believe on those parking towers, they're still not paid off as buildings. So we still need to raise some money somehow, from the collective lots. Of course, there's always maintenance issues of maintaining them and to keeping quality lots and so on, and clearing them of snow, I guess, in the winter. But those towers still got to get paid off someday, and I don't know how long that still will take. 10 years more, I don't know. But I get the idea, and working with everybody collectively. Just two quick questions. We're going to wrap up in the next minute or so. Any new ideas that you're thinking of tossing into the mix here?
Not right at the moment. I think, you know, basically working on what we have currently to try to make sure it's better, because, I mean, what we have, we're losing things. We're not gaining, you know, new opportunities, you know, with the pools and the couple libraries being closed. I'd like to see us try to, you know, find other ways to preserve those, you know, those things that we do have. So, standpoint, no.
Okay, you're going to be out here at homecoming today and maybe tomorrow also.
Yeah, tomorrow as well, from like, I'd say 9 till about 2 or 3 o'clock. And I will be here Sunday as well.
Wow. Are you going to be knocking on any more doors this weekend or Monday maybe?
I'm leaving right now, so everybody that's listening, stay there. I might be at your door.
Okay, Patrick Melton here. And just a couple days before that election, and he is one of the candidates, Patrick Melton, running for Dearborn City Council. You can read about a statement he made several months ago on the League of Women Voters Dearborn Heights website. That's .org. Just use the first initial of each one of those names. And also in the Dearborn Press and Guide this week, there's another summary, slightly different questions from all the council candidates, including yourself. So thank you for being on the Journal today. Thanks for your time today. And hope you have a lot of sunscreen on. Thank you. Dennis and I are going to be continuing, and we have another interview scheduled in just about 7 or 8 minutes. But right now we're going to move on to a couple other quick stories. And then I've got some WHFR promotional announcements to do here. And if I can find it, Dennis is going to give a spirited reading of our favorite Austin, Texas commentator, which is Jim Hightower. So
I think I'm back on now.
Yeah, turn yourself back on.
All right, there we go.
Okay, it's easier with boom mics because you got an extra hand available.
Right.
Here is it. So let me start with two public service announcements. Program notes, of course, WHFR this weekend will be broadcasting live from Dearborn Homecoming out in our tent here, just south of the covered bridge leading to Ford Field in West Dearborn. So Dearborn Homecoming, 3 days of fun, outdoors, free entertainment, free community news and information, and just great fun for all kinds of people. And here's a young gentleman coming up to the table to get a bumper sticker.
Oh, live radio is fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're right across from this whirling gig thing. It's a big swing, and there's a bunch of people in buckets that are going around in a big circle. And I believe
Well, I know what you're going to say.
I'm just a little scared. I know it's totally safe. There's rules and regulations, but I feel I'm too close. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
The angle of those buckets looks like it's coming right towards us. Well,
if
anyway.
Somebody would spit, it would hit us.
Yes. There's a police chief coming this way, Ronald Haddad. So let me do a quick interview with him.
Yeah. Can you have a minute to sit down? Please.
I can do it right here, Chief. Come on over. Yeah. This is the head of the Dearborn Police Department, Ronald Haddad. I have a controversial question for you. Let's sit down. I just want to take a couple minutes here. As long as you came by, you weren't ready for this.
He didn't know what he was getting into.
First of all, I want to compliment you, all the police department, of course, all the city of Dearborn workers. This is a fantastically well set up, well maintained event. It has been for years and years, but you keep improving it, it seems like, in your services and your planning every year. So great job, and keep at it. We've got 2.5 more days to go.
Yeah, I just stopped by to see if you guys had something good to eat and say welcome back for another year. But you're absolutely right about your observations. You know, it's a total community effort from the mayor's office on down, and we want to be transparent as a police department, but in these events, we want to be relatively invisible. We want people to come and have a good time, and we don't want to impose on anybody's fun. So we're just here to facilitate and secure the premises and facilitate traffic after. And I'm very confident that this weekend will be one of the best ever.
Well, yeah, you guys have always done a fantastic job in the past, and so you've got all the experience and a lot of even some of your all your trainees and your reserve people are usually called up for this event. So
it's the Explorers, right?
Explorers.
Yeah, we have our young people, the Explorers. I call them young, and it's all relative, I suppose. And then we have our police reserves who truly give from the heart because they don't get paid for this. And then we have our officers that alter their schedules for this weekend so that we have a proper deployment, not only here at Ford Field, but also throughout the community. We're not cutting anybody short. Our response time won't suffer, our patrol won't suffer, and that's because the great men and women here do recognize the importance and alter their schedules accordingly.
I know I should put Mayor O'Reilly on the spot for this, but, you know, in the last week or so, in a lot of the candidates that issue their opinions for the city council, it's in the Press and Guide, especially this week, that four or five of the 21-plus candidates have indicated that, ooh, the city of Dearborn is down 20 staffing positions from what the charter wants, and then for the police department, and that shouldn't happen, that they're totally against that. Now, what is that situation? Are we really down 20 staffing positions for the police?
You know, we're absolutely not down. What people have to understand is there's a constant revolving door with people retiring. Some people get married and move away. So we've never had a hiring freeze here in Dearborn. And in the event that our numbers may be down, we never take them from patrol. For example, if I have people retire, the last positions I fill are like the training office or the detectives or some administrative support position. We are very solid and consistent on the street with our deployment, and that would never change. We're never going to do anything to adversely impact deployment. And to the contrary, we have 5-day-a-week task forces out there, and I'm not going to give it all because it's a tactical issue. But our efficiencies are constantly under review, and our response time is not altered one bit. You know, we got under 5 minutes in most cases, and a lot of cases less than one.
Well, obviously, not, or percentages or numbers alone for staffing don't tell whether or not you've got a good department. I mean, a well-run department might be able to get by with fewer staff people, and I suspect that's true. Again, one of the candidates I talked to said, oh, we're going to make sure we get 20 more positions there, so I hope they find the money for that. But they said, right or wrong, that police unions had negotiated a contract in which they will accept lesser staffing, maybe to maintain their own pay levels. Did that happen? And then again, I was told by a candidate that it's legal if the police unions say that you can staff less than the charter.
let me say this. I'm not going to comment.
That's it. I hate to put you in a hot spot, but it came up this week. Yeah.
It's a great question. I want to answer, but I'm not going to comment on what candidates are saying. I'm going to tell you this, that we do have an agreement that doesn't hold us to the 205 from the union, but we're going to continually hire people. We continually work for grants, and if we are short a few people, it will never come from the patrol end of the operation. And I think that's what people have to understand. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with, unless you have other questions, is that over the past 4 years, the city of Dearborn has experienced a total reduction of crime of 24%. And that's over the last 4 years. And to date, this year, we're about 6.5% reduction. So the trend continues. And I don't have to tell you about numbers. The smaller the number, the harder it is to show a reduction. And yet, in spite of the fact that we've reduced 24% over the last 4 years, this year we're down 6.5% year to date. And again, that's a tribute to the community that reports crime, people making their homes safe, and a very responding and progressive police department.
What are those last question? The crime rates in some of the surrounding communities, have they dropped, or some of them have gone up? Maybe holding steady. I mean, we've done a great job here. I agree.
Yeah, I don't want to toss stones, but certainly, the communities around us have experienced an escalation in crime. I mean, it's been well publicized. You know, Inkster with they had 18 homicides since last July, and you know that was unheard of. But their police force, unfortunately, got cut in half. And you know, our citizens, I applaud them. They passed a millage for all city services to continue. And I don't want to be on an end of the argument that somebody tries to divide us on an opinion. I think that our community is one that's united in our community services and keeping our city safe. And I think working together, hey, we can't spend more money when there's less money coming in. We have to find the best way to serve our community, and I think we're doing that in a very...
Yeah, I'll just wrap up. Thank you very much, Chief Haddad here of the Dearborn Police Department, by saying that, again, finally, everybody, all the candidates we've talked to, challengers for city council, especially the people we've been talking to, they want to continue the same solid police force and police and fire services. So I don't know anybody that feels that that's not justified. So I think you will have that same strong community support. And again, you've earned it. So thank you very much for being on the Journal today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Right. He didn't expect the long question.
No, he knows you.
Get back to work now. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chief.
Again, Dearborn Police Chief Ronald Haddad coming by. He was just trying to see if he could buy some food from us.
Yeah, what made him think he'd get food here?
I
That's
don't
interesting.
Know. We look delicious, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Especially our general manager.
Stop it.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, WHFR's weekly science talk show. Did you know we had a science talk show? People talk about science in a very informative way as well as entertaining. We do it every Tuesday from noon to 1 o'clock. It's one of the very few hours, like only two or three, that we get from an outside provider. In this case, it's the SETI Institute. And some premier scientists and astronomers are on the show, hosted by Seth Shostak, who's been on a lot of TV science channels many times, and Molly Bentley. This Tuesday, August 6th, right after you vote in the primary, of course, the topic from noon to 1 is long live longevity. And I, for one, am in favor of longevity.
Oh, as am I.
You know, every extra day, by golly,
yes.
Please.
What do you consider the alternative?
Yeah, and they have six different guests talking about different issues, someone from the BBC, and the Frank Drake, famous for the Drake Equation, about how many ETs are out there.
Yeah,
from the SETI Institute. Peter Crane, botanist from Yale, and Laura Karsten, psychologist from Stanford. Some of the best people are on this show, and it's such an entertaining format. So we recommend that to you. You say, well, I can't listen to WHFR Tuesday noon to 1 o'clock. Well, and we don't podcast this show, but you can go to radio.seti.org and listen to that. Next Wednesday, really quick, on Mountain Stage from 6 to 8 p.m., WHFR features this every week. Again, it's live in-concert performance radio from West Virginia. Bob Shank is going to be performing, the Trishes, Logan Venderlich, Kat Edmondson, and let me tell you, I saw Kat Edmondson on Austin City Limits.
Mm-hmm.
She lives near Austin. Of course, I've been to Austin many times.
Sure.
She is like a new agey big band jazz vocalist.
Wow.
It is so unique to hear her sing. Kat Edmondson, highly recommend the show, The Mountain Stage, this week. And finally, the bigger name that I'm not familiar with, Ben Taylor, is going to be performing. So right there with our alternative artists who are equal to or better than what's already popular. Dennis is going to now share. He's going to try to do a Southern accent.
No, he's not.
No, okay. Jim Hightower's commentary for the week, because we don't have.
Because we are live. Stuff blown away and everything.
We don't have a computer here to play it back. So take it away, Dennis, and our next guest, Stephen Dabkowski, who will coming up right after that. So take it away, Dennis.
The name of this particular commentary is Forget Student Loans, Make Higher Ed Free. He starts out, well, finally. Hard right congressional leaders in the Obama White House have agreed that interest rates on student loans should not double to nearly 7% as they let happen early in July. Instead, college students will be billed at a rate that will steadily rise to above 8%. This is progress? Well, yes, in that this year's rate would drop to 3.8%. But for the longer run, obviously not. Even capping the interest rate at 8.25%, as the White House demanded, is too high, for it still saddles students with a crushing debt of some $20,000 to $40,000 for a four-year degree, just as they're getting started on their economic path. But worse, lawmakers are playing small ball, avoiding the big issue. Bickering over percentage shrivels the public debate to its most picayune and meanest point, which our so-called leaders seem to specialize in these days. They focus on the price of everything without grasping the value of anything. And the value of a college education, not only to America's youth, but most significantly to our whole society's economic and democratic future, is clearly established. So the big question should be asking is this: why isn't higher education free? As Les Leopold of the Labor Institute notes in a July 2nd alternate piece, for over 150 years, our nation has recognized that tuition-free primary and secondary schools were absolutely vital to the growth and functioning of our commonwealth, end quote. Today, open access to a college degree or other advanced training is as vital to America as a high school diploma has been in our past. Forget interest rates. Our young people should not be blocked by a massive debt load from getting the education that they need, but also that all of America needs them to have for our mutual prosperity and democratic strength. There you go. You heard it here first. Hi. Good to meet you. Dennis Reimars.
Yeah, this is Jay Koronik and Dennis here. This is the new WHFR Journal, broadcasting live from Dearborn Homecoming. I hope you can get out here this weekend. WHFR is going to be here from about 10 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, all 3 days. And we have used CDs for sale, our logo items, our free pens and newsletters. Love to meet and greet all of our local listeners. But today it's the WHFR Journal, our new WHFR Journal, and we're featuring candidates, of course, the last several weeks for the Dearborn City Council. And there's an election coming up, you know, this Tuesday, and it's a big one. It's a primary election. 21 candidates are going to be reduced to 14 to go on to November. So it's important, if you have a favorite, to make sure and vote for them next Tuesday. And now for his 15 minutes of fame, I have council candidate Stephen Dabkowski with us, and we're going to be talking to him about his background and his issues. Again, we on this show, we're only talking to the challengers. If you don't know who the incumbents are by now, there's only five of the seven that are running again. But where have you been? You know, and they have, because of name recognition, they have ability to raise money a little more easily. And so on. So that's why the Journal is focusing on the challengers. So I'm going to switch microphones here. And,
just like that.
Yeah, just like that. And here we are. So Stephen Dabkowski, welcome to the Journal. And I'm going to turn Dennis's microphone off, too, so it's just us here. Tell us about yourself, your background and your education and your experience that might be useful, relevant to becoming a Dearborn City Council person.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you for, you know, having me on the air. I appreciate that. This is actually really helpful for a candidate to be interviewed like this. I'm a lifelong resident of Dearborn, and I grew up in East Dearborn, in the Schaefer, Michigan area, in Horger, and I presently live on Jonathan.
And I went to St. Barbara's Grade School, Orchard Lake St. Mary's High School, Henry Ford Community College, and Michigan State University. And I have a degree in political science, but a heavy emphasis in economics, geography, history, and secondary education. Years ago, I taught school for a few years in Detroit. But after I left teaching, basically went into business for myself as a broker selling businesses, bars, restaurants, liquor stores, and a vending machine business, and some commercial real estate. And I'm out of that now, and I have been for a number of years. And the background that I have is kind of unique in that I really was involved in starting businesses for myself and some partners. And I have a really serious appreciation of money, of capital, because that's the biggest problem you have in starting a business, having enough money to work with. So I view my view as a city councilman would be much different from most of the people on the city council that never have experienced that. And frankly, the way they view the resources of the city, the income, and the way they spend it, which I consider in some cases totally unwise, and I think it's dangerous for the city. You have to respect your resources, the money that comes in, and you can't just throw it around on major construction projects that always go over, grossly over the budget, and that includes the new city hall.
I thought it was also interesting, again, Stephen Dabkowski, we're talking to now a candidate for Dearborn City Council. In the Dearborn Press and Guide this last week Wednesday, there is brief comments from all the candidates, including Stephen Dabkowski, and you should try to read all of those, of course. But, Stephen, you were also mentioning there, too, in terms of your background, that a lot of these people have never held elective office in Dearborn, and you were elected to the last Charter Commission.
Yeah. I was elected to the Charter Commission. Well, that was 8 years ago, and I served for part of the term because City Hall went after me claiming my mother's estate home was mine. And essentially removed me improperly from the Charter Commission, claiming back taxes were owed on my mother's home, so therefore I'm responsible. We fought it out in Circuit Court and in Michigan Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court, and they just continued to lie and ignore the facts of the case, and I was removed. And I don't bear any grudge over that. It's just the way the game is played in City Hall.
Would you say that... Even at that time for the Charter Commission, you were part of a sort of a reform ticket. There were a number of candidates for that who, and I think including yourself, that really wanted to work hard on some significant changes in the Charter at that time.
Well, there were four of us on the Charter Commission that were really outsiders. The administration had five votes, including David Bazzi, who is now a city councilman, and they basically controlled the whole operation. And whatever they wanted, they got. And no matter what questions we had or what opinions we had on particular changes that we thought were important, we couldn't get anywhere because they had five votes and we had four. And it's a majority rule, and that's the way it was.
They're sort of like gridlock. If you got the majority, there's no compromise needed.
Well, if you have the majority, you control it. Period.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into some of our typical questions here. So, in general, and because it's been such a controversial year, I've been asking this question. I don't mean any disrespect to the Mayor O'Reilly necessarily, but in terms of his policies, are you pro or con, or maybe something in between?
Pro or con what?
Mayor John B. O'Reilly's policies.
There are some things that I have agreed with him. I think his major success was 3 years ago going to container pickup for trash and recyclables. That really dramatically cut back on a serious rat infestation in Dearborn, and it exists in all communities, Detroit and suburbs. And that was really a major accomplishment because it did save a few dollars in garbage collection, but also to help take care of a rodent problem and problem with raccoons and possums and dogs and cats getting into rubbish. And that was an accomplishment. I think the real negatives for me is with Mayor O'Reilly And I don't mean this personally against him. I think the decision to go ahead and cut 20 policemen from the minimum manning levels and getting around the city charter requirements of 204 and reducing it to 183 by entering into a labor contract after threatening the police union with forcing them to pay for their own Blue Cross, I think is a very dangerous thing for neighborhoods and businesses in this town and visitors, and not only people living here, people work here and visit here. And second of all, the savings that were incurred by reducing the police force by 20 and redirecting that money towards this new city hall is, you know, and by the money staying in the general fund of the city and redirecting it towards this new city hall building.
That was my next question, but right. So you would have not, perhaps, if you were there, voted for buying the new city hall building, the ADT building?
Not only would I have voted against it, I would have demanded to see the report that the city had paid $113,000 for, which they did not share with the city council before that building was purchased, which basically says the engineering and architectural company declined to comment on the possibility of black mold infestation in the building because they claimed they were not qualified to do it, but they skirted the issue. And I've talked to some experts, and they said in the construction industry, said they're talking in a code. The building has black mold because it has water leaks through the roof and through the exterior concrete panels. The caulking has let go after 12 years. And the building is actually a very inexpensive building. It's not meant to last 40, 50 years. It has steel grid work upon which precast concrete panels are bolted. Well, those panels are separated by caulking, and you have to be on top of that every month to make sure you don't have water leaks. There are water leaks in the building, and when there is water, there is black mold, because the black mold grows on the back of drywall. That's the food for black mold. So the mayor is running around saying, oh, we got a clean bill of health. No, you didn't get a clean bill of health. And they're going to discover if this project continues on. Halfway through the project, they're going to discover their problem and say, oh my God, we got to spend more money. We need more money and more money. And the project will probably come in around $15 million.
So it won't, at least initially, be very much of a cost saving. It'll be a deficit situation for many years, even if, as projected, the operating costs might become less per year than the current building. You know, it's that there's going to be a cost overrun just getting it ready, you think?
Well, first of all, you have to understand the building that they purchased on Michigan Avenue is a high-maintenance building. These leaks and the caulking will continue. They will not stop because of the freezing and thawing of the concrete panels. So the caulking constantly needs to be repaired. So there's going to be repairs needed in that building that the old building doesn't have. But the mayor has acknowledged publicly that for the last 10 years, maintenance has been ignored in the existing building, and now it's going to be very costly to bring it back up to snuff simply because they haven't been doing it for 10 years, and so they're blaming the building. Oh, the building is old, the building is no good, oh, we have to sell it, and we also have to subsidize this art corporation.
ArtServe.
ArtServe, whatever it is.
ArtSpace. ArtSpace, excuse me, Dennis. That's why Dennis is here, ArtSpace.
ArtSpace, I mean, they're selling the building for $1.6 million and essentially giving it away, and they're going to subsidize and help them get state and federal grants, and that's where they think they're going to do the deal. And I think the way to stop it is to stop the state of Michigan federal government from giving ArtSpace any money for this. And I think actually what we have to do is we have to start collecting signatures of different residents, different taxpayers, and get those signatures to the governor's office and put the fear of God into him because he's up for re-election next year, and also indicate to Congressman Dingell, who would be the point man for Jack O'Reilly to try to get some federal money for this ArtSpace organization, that the community is opposed to this. Now, as I've been campaigning here, I have not met one single person to say anything positive about this new proposed city hall. I mean, they're all opposed to it. And when they find out that we lost 20 positions in the police department, they're terrified. And, you know, we had a terrible thing happen here a few weeks ago with the double murder in the retail store in West Durban right across the street from Sacred Heart Church. That just scared the living hell out of everybody. I mean, it shocked me. I mean, you're not accustomed to that in Detroit. But, I mean...
In Dearborn.
Dearborn. And what it is an indication is the crime is out there, and you do need police patrolling 24 hours a day to protect the neighborhoods and protect the business districts and the visitors and citizens of this town. Yeah.
We need to move on in your time here. Some of the city essentials, then, you've spoken about the maintenance and the continued staffing for the police department. I assume you would think similarly about the fire department. What about the pools, library, historical museum?
Well, there. I grew up in this town, and when I was a little kid, Hemlock Swimming Pool was built. I think it was 1954, and I swam in it as a kid. And the refusal by the city to maintain recreational facilities within our community is an indication of a lack of respect for neighborhoods and for the people that live there. And I think this is, you know, very, very detrimental, and it's a recurring pattern that first occurred in Detroit, where all the money was spent on grand building projects in downtown Detroit, stadiums, opera houses, grant money from downtown development authorities to private people to buy office buildings and turn them into apartment lofts. And over the last 30 years in Detroit, they haven't been investing in neighborhoods, and the neighborhoods collapsed. And if you do not invest in neighborhoods, repairing the streets, repairing the sidewalks, the parks, lighting, keeping up these essential, important parts of the neighborhood, you're going to just repeat what's going on in Detroit.
I'm going to jump to some of the city extras. Some of these things on my little list here that you can see, Camp Dearborn, Mystic Creek, and the Herndon Golf Courses, maybe they're paying their own way. That changes from time to time. We've reinvested some in those. New animal shelter. I know Mayor O'Reilly's not in favor of doing more than just giving the land of the old train station to that project. But what about those? What about paid parking in West Dearborn and the problem with the parking towers?
Well, that's a classic example of how decisions are made in City Hall, and the City Council goes along with it, and their lack of understanding of the consequences of their actions. They built two parking structures, cost $13 million, then discovered nobody's parking there, so they put paid parking on in West Dearborn, and proceed to help destroy the shopping area of West Dearborn and enrage everybody. And we're still stuck with these two parking structures that are occupied primarily by pigeons. And, you know, it's a typical thing that comes out of City Hall, and the City Council just goes along with it. The same thing happened on the Youth Center expansion. It was sold. We approved bonds for $22.5 million. The project came in at $46.5 million.
Any other ideas that you want to comment on, or ideas that you have? I know I was reading in the Press and Guide this week. You were actually talking about the massive amounts of tax abatement that have been given to companies in the past to relocate to Dearborn, including Severstall and, of course, Ford Motor Company. That's been going on various rates for years and years. I'm just guessing because of that, you wouldn't vote to do the abatements anymore.
Well, let's understand who Severstall is. They're a company that originated in the 1930s under Joseph Stalin in the Soviet Union. They produced steel that was used in the Vietnam War and the Korean War, killing Americans. They buy Rus steel. 1 month after they buy Rus steel, the price of steel worldwide went up $100 a ton. All of a sudden, Rus steel, now called Severstall, became profitable. The city of Dearborn gave them use of about $7 to $8 million for 15 years. That was to be repaid when the company was profitable or in 15 years. Well, what's happened is this company has grown huge worldwide, buying up facilities and mines and coal mines and iron mines and so forth and gold mines all over the world. They are definitely profitable, and they have a tax abatement that over 12 years totals $78 million. And now they're attempting to extort from the city and her name be placed on the city hall and the new Veterans Memorial. That is preposterous. I can't believe that people in City Hall are actually seriously considering that. I mean, that's nuts. And there's no other way to describe it.
And we have a candidate that has very strong opinions, and if we had more time, and I've known Stephen for years, so I guess I'm revealing my insider's bias here. I'm not endorsing Steve, but I'm saying if you can catch him here at homecoming, you're going to be around a little bit today more and maybe tomorrow or Sunday. I hope you have a chance to listen to his ideas in depth. He's just like apparently you used the name, you dropped the name of somebody that I admired greatly from Dearborn City Council from years ago, Doug Thomas. You know, on the surface, I thought I disagreed with everything Doug stood for, but I brought him on the Journal for hour-long interviews, I think three times over the years. The information he had, the details that he could provide that would start you to thinking, you know, and I really, so it's interesting that you mentioned him as a sort of a mentor to you.
Well, Doug Thomas is a Republican, and I'm a Democrat, and he's endorsed me. And in talking with him, he said, you can use my name anywhere you want. And I said, no, I won't use it indiscriminately, but I appreciate that. And he said to me, he says, look, Steve, if you get elected, he said, I'll be happy to come back periodically and consult with you as to what is going on. And I consider Doug a friend, and I think he's a friend of Dearborn and a friend of its neighborhoods and the people that live there, all of them. So I appreciate that endorsement.
Well, thank you so much. Stephen Dabkowski, one of the 21 candidates for Dearborn City Council, one of the challengers, and strong ideas, great opinions. By the way, he also wants me to mention he was endorsed by Michigan Right to Life as a Democratic candidate for state representative when he ran in the 2010 primary election. So he is known. It's amazing that, like many of us who are retirement age, I won't say how old here, but we keep up. It was great reading this, that every day you read the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Yeah, but you have to, minimal, to keep up, you know. And, of course, Wall Street Journal, kind of conservative, New York Times, a little more liberal. Even that's not enough, but you have a very active presence in Dearborn, Dearborn Democratic Club, and so on. So you really are well informed.
Those two newspapers have the best writers, the best reporters, and the best writing as in terms of grammar and style of publications in the United States. It's not so much what you agree to them, it's just well written.
Well, thank you for being here on the Journal today. Stephen Dabkowski for Dearborn City Council. Dennis and I are going to finish up. Stephen, it's been a pleasure. He'll be out here at Dearborn Homecoming for a little while. Weather, it's just cloudy. It's wonderful temperatures. You probably wouldn't even need any sunscreen right now, so I hope we'll see you out here. We're going to be concluding the Journal with just a couple of stories here. By the way, the free speech area where a number of the politicians are sort of forced to stand, unless you know them face-to-face and can just accidentally come across them. They're not supposed to accost people walking around or handing things out, but it's immediately south of us here at Dearborn Homecoming, across from the carnival on the west side of the carnival. So come on down and talk to these people over the next several days and make a good choice next Tuesday about who you want to vote for. Just a couple of issues here. If you hadn't caught the papers, the new train station in West Dearborn, it's going to be named in honor of John Dingell. Okay, Dennis wants to talk. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. No, I don't want to. I need to. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's going to be named after John Dingell. How do you feel about
that? That's right. Well, he did have make a significant effort to get the additional funding and to maintain. Remember, for a while, the train funding for Michigan wasn't a done deal.
No.
And in fact, it was because federal money was actually refused by Florida and some other state at one point. You know, it was the Obama investment money. Right, and of course, our governor did sort of want to accept that, but John Dingell was helpful to making sure that the train station will happen. I'm just hoping that somebody also provides money to buy the trains, which I understand we already bought, but to operate them,
right,
to actually get the schedules going. It was kind of crazy. We actually have more trains that could be running right now, but they're in storage because we don't have money for the people to man them.
It's kind of
or
important.
Person them, if you will.
John Dingell is a legend, and you either like his policies or not, but what a career of public service, even if you don't think so. That's up to you, but a lot of things he worked for very hard, tirelessly, day and night. It's not easy being a politician, even though some of the people we talk to here are willing to be a part-time politician, at least. So the only other story, well, the story Dennis might know about is that in Dearborn Heights, the city council there approves the millage ballot language to hopefully increase the tax for the library.
It's a fabulous place to look at.
So the library tax increase?
Well, yeah, it still has to go to the state, but the city approved it, and right. Once that's done, it's the exact amount of money they needed. They weren't going for something an overblown figure. Mike McCaffrey, we talked quite a bit about it, and he needs the money, and they're going to get it. I like it.
I think so, because the basic funding that they've already had, but of course that property value decreasing, continually, is not enough to operate. The same excuse that the city of Dearborn had when they asked for the increase again a couple of years ago. And we'll hear that. It's a common excuse. But the people of Dearborn Heights really voted, was it about 3 years ago or four, that they wanted to have a separate millage to secure at least the main library. Is there two?
There are two. John F. Kennedy and the
right. Yeah, and they wanted to make sure that even if there were budget cuts, that millage would help them keep going. So good for them. I mean, I'm always in favor of libraries, even though they all need to modernize and keep up with a variety of media.
Well, and that's where the expense is, really. I mean, the biggest overhead is it seems like technology is constantly updating, and they have to. You're right. They have to be on the brink of that.
Well, we're going to sum up now from Dearborn Homecoming. We've been broadcasting live for the last hour here, but there will be continuing reports from the field, as they say, from the Dearborn WHFR tent until 8 o'clock tonight. So stay listening to WHFR this weekend. You hear your regular music with Dearborn Homecoming reports every couple hours. If you can get on down here, please do so. Come on by our tent.
And visit us.
Yeah. Besides the carnival, the free entertainment, the fireworks Saturday and Sunday nights, all kinds of things happening, and great food, too, food court as well as food trucks. So come on down to Dearborn Homecoming, the 34th annual Dearborn Homecoming. Back to you folks in the studio. It should be about time for Highway 61 and Joanne Kay.
Thanks for listening.
WHFR Dearborn.
We're going to start off a little blues here with Billy Davis and the Rhythm Machine, and sings I've Tried.
Mm-hmm.